Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
This is Marloni and Fourier.
I'm about to make this place my place.
I'm about to make this place my place. Like, whoever says that in their head. You know what, head? You know what, self? Let's make this place your place. No. Nobody talks like that to themselves. You know,
for a fifth consecutive season, the Houston Astros are headed to the American League Championship Series.
It's the Red Sox, the Astros, and a whole can of worms for Alex Cora.
You get immunity? And then you rat like a little bitch? That's the problem I have.
With a five-game sample, do we really know who the Patriots are yet?
But I do have a little bit of a different take. More pro-positive Patriots take.
I felt the same way after I rewatched it.
Just being very impressed with the Houston Texans.
Really, oh, yeah, that's not the way I looked at it.
It's Lou.
But it was beautiful. A little small ball. I like
small
ball.
Like the small ball.
It's Christian.
Oh, okay. Well, you guys got me eating McDonald's right now.
It's Marloni and Fourier on WEEI.
Fourth and final hour here, Marloni and Fourier. We Rodney Harrison, who we just talked to at 4:30, that completely changed Fourier's mind on what's going to happen with the Patriots. We'll do a little bit more of that in the bottom of the hour, but here at 5 o'clock, Sox, Astros made it official. The Astros have eliminated the Chicago White Sox, and you're going to get game one Friday night down there. I believe 8:07. No one's really announced any starters right now. My belief is that it should probably be Eovaldi and Framber Valdez. I believe the lefty. But this is an interesting one. You know, we talked about the other day, who do you want? We said we'd like the drama, right? The drama is a good story. So we kind of like the fact that it's the Houston Astros because there's a lot of drama there. And I think the White Sox are a good team, too. They have different difficulties. But this team here has been there before. You know, this lineup has been there. You know there's going to be big hits from Correa. You know that Bregman and Altuve and Alvarez, he's got Gurriel, all of them. You know they're going to come through. They got some arms, and they fixed their bullpen with Graveman as their closer to go with Presley and guys like Stanek. So this is a very good team. A guy like Dusty Baker, but it's interesting because we were saying, I don't think Alex Cora wanted to deal with the Astros, given all the drama that went in. I don't think he wants to. He's
just
already dealt
to be
with it.
Done with it already,
right? He just wanted it over with. He played the White Sox, and we're just talking about Tony La Russa. We're talking about Moncada and Kopech, you know, and the sale trade, things like that. But the Houston Astros. Yeah, it brings back some things. No question about it.
Yeah, and the Astros, you know, you sit there and you look at them and go, wow, they remind me of, let me see, your New England Patriots.
Yeah, they do.
Because, okay, is this a rivalry? If you ever wondered, as a New England Patriot fan, how people from outside of New England viewed the Patriots during their historic run, during that 20-year run. How did they hated you. They were jealous of you. They mocked you. If they found an opening to rip you, they did. God forbid you get in trouble. They're going to pile on. That's the way people view the Houston Astros. People view the Houston as why? Because they're good. Because they've gone on a long run of success. It's going to be their fifth championship series that they played in. Five in a row. So they're good. They got stars. They got good players that are clutch. So that is the way I think most people, most baseball fans view the Houston Astros.
Yeah, no, it's very similar. Five
and here we
ALCSs.
Are again. And here we are again. And then I would say the Red Sox have a great like little history with them going back to John Farrell in 2017.
Yeah, no, this team is legit. Five ALCSs. They've been to a couple of World Series already. I mean, we'll see how this thing ends up. But, you know, you could have a five-year span where they could win two World Series, go to three of them. No, this is a very good team. We talked to Alex Cora earlier today at 2:30. We asked him if he really just wanted to avoid the Astros.
I mean, we don't live in a perfect world, right? So it is what it is right now. But one thing for sure, I understand what people are going to ask, what they're going to talk about it. I've been talking about it the whole season. So they're going to get the same answer that I've been giving the whole time. I would love people to actually focus on the people on the field. There's a lot of talent, and there's a lot of good players. It's two great teams that are fighting for the same thing. Of course, they're going to talk about what happened in 17, but I hope people actually get locked in for the right reasons. And it's Xander Bogaerts, Carlos Correa, Enrique Hernandez, Michael Brantley, and so on, so on, so on. And hopefully that's the case. You know, it should be a great series. It should be very interesting with the way they do things over there and the way we do things here, and it should be fun.
Okay, so I think it's a little bit delusional because I don't think they're going to think about that. I think the biggest storyline, the lead for any, you know, any platform, any Fox, TNT, TBS, you name it, this is the story. This is the story. This is the series. Like, every game is going to have some sort of aspect of a cheating scandal associated with it. When it begins, when it ends, what does it mean? Is there closure? Can you finally move on? Can we all just move on and be done with it?
Well, it's funny you bring that word up, closure, because I think you followed it up and asked him, you know, is this like series? When this thing is over, is that closure for everyone?
Unless you know, we win this one, then, you know, you might have to play the Dodgers.
Oh, then it's worth talking about. Then it's worth talking about. And we'll do it one more time.
We'll do it one more time.
We'll do it one more time.
Actually, that I thought about it this morning. I was like, well, you know, we win this one, the Dodgers win, you know, we got to keep going. But I'm okay with it. You know, I've been very open about it. And, you know, what else I'm going to say?
Yeah. So that's it. What else? At this point, it's probably really easy for him. What do you want me to say? Okay, it's a script. He's probably got it memorized in his head.
What if Alex put out like a press release and talked all about it, you know, and how he felt about it, and then when he met with the media yesterday or today and just said, I've already discussed it. I've already put out a press release. I've already discussed it. We've discussed that many times in the past. How would that be taken compared to our guy down there at Gillette?
Next question.
Like, how would that be taken? Because I know when Bill does that, Patriots fans, they get all excited. Like, it moves. Like, they get really excited when Bill just kind of shuts everybody down and just says, you know, I already released a statement. We've already talked about it. Guys like Tommy's like, no, Tommy Curran, no, you never actually talked about it. No, I already discussed it. And moves on.
I released a statement. Everything was in my statement.
How would it be received if Alex Cora stood up to the national media and they asked him, like, you know, listen, I've already discussed what happened last year. I'm not talking about it anymore.
I mean, but
he would
hold
get destroyed.
On. But, I know, but hold on, though.
He would get absolutely destroyed.
If you spent the first 3 months addressing it every single time
Which he pretty much did.
Okay, that's my point. So he did. After the fourth month, what do you kind of be like, all right, he has every right to say, I'm done talking about it. Like, I wouldn't fault him for it. I wouldn't hold a grudge against him. I wouldn't say, oh, he doesn't care. He's so insincere. Like, would you?
Arrogance. Oh, yeah, no.
Oh, he thinks it's no big deal.
They would destroy him. People would destroy him if he ever sit there and said, I've already discussed it. And he already has. He discussed that more than anything you ever hear Bill talk about Spygate or anything else.
I would say he's discussed this issue. Out of all the people involved, A.J. Hinch, do you think he's discussed this as much as Cora has?
I think he discussed it, but obviously, you know, this would have been over if the White Sox beat Houston Astros. You know what I mean? Maybe it still would have come up. You know, if they advanced and they're like the Red Sox, like, should he even be a manager anymore in this game? Or if A.J. Hinch took his Detroit Tigers to the World Series, like, should he even be in baseball right now? You know, and of course, if they do play the Dodgers, it's going to come up again. Because, you know, the Dodgers are sitting there saying, we lost in 17 to the Astros, we lost in 18 to the Red Sox. Two teams that paid the price after through investigations on both of those years. So if the Dodgers win here tomorrow night and they advance, it's gonna still be there.
That's real closure.
And then you got the Braves who are like in this party,
you don't want
like
the Braves.
We didn't do anything wrong, right? We're good. We have no dog in this fight. We're good.
Yeah, I would say that's real closure. That's full circle right there. So you basically take the same course as you did in 18. You go through Houston and then you go through LA, and you beat them both. I mean, how crazy would that be? You think about that. So, like, a couple years later, a couple years later, you take the same course, you play the same two teams, and you get the same outcome. Like, I mean, I would say that's redemption. Like, that's the song, that's the story that you're telling. Like, as far as, like, hey, that, like, you remember, like, people in L.A., the mayor of L.A. trying to discredit and, like, put an asterisk on the World Series win?
You think if that happens at the parade... You're going to hear Cora say, in 2018, you questioned our championship. We went through the Astros. We went through the Dodgers.
Yeah.
Suck it.
Yeah, suck on it.
Suck on
we
that.
Put 16 on the Yankees. Suck on it.
Well, Alex,
I can't wait.
Alex was very emotional after that series win against the Rays, and we asked him about it. You know, it had more to do with him, well, kind of like what his family had gone through as well.
I made the mistake, so I handle it. I'm good, you know. Like, you know, if you tell me whatever you want to tell me, hey, you know, it's part of it. You know, I was part of it. I you know, made a mistake, but for them, obviously, they paid the price, and that was the hardest part. And for them to come here right now at the house here is like when you play travel ball, you know, you got your sister and your nephews and everybody, and there's like beds all over the place, mattresses all over the place, you know, and they get up in the morning and they cook breakfast and then they lunch and they watch baseball the whole day. So it's a very, you know, when we're here is a family thing, you know. I don't care who wants to come here, who wants to stay at the house. You know, we fly them to Tampa, to Houston, because they deserve it, man. With all the sacrifices throughout my career and obviously for everything that happened the last few years, they deserve to enjoy this. And that's why I'm so happy. You know, I'm happy for the organization, happy for the players, but happier for the family that finally they can actually breathe and enjoy it, you know, and that's awesome.
Yeah, I think that's important, that they can finally breathe. I feel like for the family, there's closure. It would be great to keep piling on and keep kind of, you know, hitting those milestones. But I think it was important when he said they can breathe now. It's almost like everyone's been forgiven. Like, that's what it feels like to me, which I think is obviously important. And therefore, you're not just walking around with this, like, the scarlet letter. Like, oh, there goes that guy. You remember what he did. Oh, don't worry about that. That World Series doesn't matter. Yeah, where's the shame, though?
Yeah, and I would say that, you know, Alex, obviously, he's been very accountable with it. He's talked about it a lot. He's back in the ALCS because he's a very good manager. You know, he's very good at his job. And you can say the same thing about the Houston Astros. Like, I didn't like what they did. I didn't like that Alex was involved in that. I didn't like those players, really not, to me, not really taking any accountability. You know, there was no punishment whatsoever for those players. But make no mistake about it, that's a very good team. And they've proven it. You know, last year, ALCS. This year, ALCS. Like, Altuve's a good hitter. You know, it's not just because he knows what's coming. You know, same with Bregman, same with Correa. Like, this is a good team. And it's an arrogant team. And in a way, I kind of respect their arrogance. Like, they sort of just, they just took it. They really didn't apologize, and I understand that's one of the reasons why you hate them, but if you take a step back, you're sort of like, actually, I can kind of respect it, you know, because they didn't crumble. You know, they didn't, like, just, you know, it'd be different if they didn't really ever, like, kind of sit there and say, yeah, we're sorry, we did this, because they didn't. And then they went out and folded, like, a tent for the next 2 years, and you're like, you're a bunch of frauds. But they kind of had this arrogance about them, and all they did was get to the ALCS last year before they lost. And then this year, back to the ALCS again. Like, it's just it's a very, very good team. One of the questions really coming into the series is Chris Sale. And what the hell do you do with Chris Sale? He threw one game in game two. He threw one inning. He gave up 5 runs. He threw 30 pitches. He was up in the bullpen. You heard Cora say that he was actually going to come in and close out game four if they had the lead, because of what the situation was with lefty-righty-lefty and his good matchups. We asked Alex Cora what the plan is, and is Sale still in this rotation?
He's still in the rotation. He's going to be a big part of what we're trying to accomplish. You know, he was probably going to come in with the lead in the ninth, because the way they were set up with the lefties, you know, there were a lot of good matches for him. So he's ready. He feels great. We're going to meet probably after the workout today to go over the rotation, how we're going to map it out. But, yeah, he's part of the rotation.
My guess is he goes game two for different reasons once they start looking at it and mapping it out. Evaldi goes game one. Sale goes game two because after game two there's a day off. You know, so I don't think you want – the most important start is probably the third start as far as getting you something, giving you innings. Like, Erod got to go game three because you play back-to-back after that, 3-4-5, back-to-back-to-back, right? So if you can – if Aldi can give you a normal outing and then Sale goes, now here comes Pivetta, here comes Hauk, whoever it might be. You got an off day, but Erod's the guy pitching game three that's got to give you length, because if he goes another inning and you got a game the next day and then a game the next day, now you start getting screwed up. You know, if you are using Hauk and Pivetta every single day there as much as you can, just in game three, game four, you look around and go, now what? Now, you know, Evaldi can't come back on like 2-3 days rest. So my guess is that he goes game two because you got an off day the next day. And so you can afford to kind of throw Hauk or Pivetta behind him in case things go south.
See, my thing was, okay, so Sale's thrown 30 pitches in one inning.
Yeah.
That's it. That's that, that's one day of work over the last, I don't know, how many weeks, how many days? He's got to be losing his mind. This guy's got to be going nuts. I'm honest to God, like knowing his personality, I mean, he's going to be throwing out of his shoes, right? I mean, he's going to be losing his mind. So he first start, he's going to get, so he'll pitch Saturday, right? What do you think that's going to look like? You think he's fixed his issues? You think he's, so Cora, it sounds to me like Cora says, okay, he's going to be fine. He's fixed his issues. You're going to get the real Chris Sale, basically paraphrasing for him, that he's, that Chris Sale will be back.
So I just saw Jen McCaffrey tweet out that he's throwing another bullpen today.
Yeah, it's a grainy picture from basically a home plate looking towards the Red Sox bullpen, and it says one of these blurs in the bullpen is Chris Sale.
Why would he do that?
So it's
is he transitioning to be a reliever going forward?
He did say he was going to come out. He was going to pitch the ninth.
Yes.
He said he was going to pitch the ninth if the situation, because there was a lot of good matchups for him. So, I mean, doesn't he have to do something?
And when you guys talked to Cora, he said he is in the rotation, but when he talked to the Boston media just a short while ago, he didn't say that. He just said, quote, he will pitch.
So, to me, I think it's strange that first off, he threw a bullpen a couple days ago, right, before the game. And that, to me, was a signal that he ain't throwing. Like, you don't usually throw bullpens the day of games and then come in that night. And he was up and ready to go. Throwing another bullpen here today, this is more of like a starter type thing, and getting ready, I think, for Saturday. I think he goes game two. But I think it's more of like just trying to find it. He's trying to find his changeup is what he's trying to find. He's trying, whether it's mechanical, I mean, hopefully, you're hoping that it's something mechanical because his changeup is just non-existent. And his location, his fastball's not where it needs to be, and the power's not there, which means the slider's not as effective. So, that's just a couple of bullpens now in 3-day stretch, and he's just trying to find it. Like, and that's something that's a concern. But I don't think what you can't do is start him game three, because if game three becomes a bullpen day, you've got back-to-back games. You got three games in a row. That 3-4-5 is very important. That's why a game three starter is very important to get innings from, because you don't want to destroy yourself for games four and games five. So I don't know. I want to go to Kevin in the Cape. Kevin, what's going on, man? Lou and Christian.
Hey, Lou. Hey, Christian. Thanks for taking my call. Both you guys were players of integrity, and thank you for that. I think the problem that Houston players that are on the team from 4 years ago, the problem that they're always going to run into is that even though the coaches were suspended and the organization was fined, there are still players on that team that never admitted their culpability for what happened. And I think until they do, and they probably never will, but until they do, they are not going to have the respect of other members of the league. Like the Dodgers are going to continue to say, just why don't you just fess up to what you did? And the fact that they personally were not fined or suspended, which is where I think the league screwed up.
I think that's a big issue with a lot of people. The fact that they got caught, and I think a lot of people, I know Drellick, when he was part of this whole like Houston Astros thing. You know what I mean? But the idea that if you want the whole story, and the most important thing was getting the story, you almost had to give immunity. Because if a player's sitting there saying, okay, you want me to tell you what happened? Like, am I going to get suspended for the entire year? Like, without pay? And you really want me to tell you what happened? Like, why would I do that? No, go to someone else. I'm not talking. Go to someone else. Go to Fires out there in Oakland. See if he knows the whole story. But I ain't telling you what went down or how it went down. I'm not going to help your investigation if you're going to suspend me all year long. So I get that. As strange as it is, it's sort of like, how else were you going to get the story out? But at the same point, it was like nothing. Like, to me, it's almost like you got to say, listen, yeah, I want the whole story. We are going to suspend you. Maybe whatever. At least if it's for like a week, just give me a little flesh. He could rotate it.
I would actually
first week of the season, like Altuve's out for the week, and then the next week he comes back, but Correa's out. And sort of, for the first 6 weeks, they're losing a pitcher and a player. It's like, come on. I mean, it's got to be something. Like, I know we want the information, but you did what you did, right? I mean, we got to do something to you. And they did absolutely nothing happen to them. Poor Carlos Beltran, for God's sake.
Yeah, lost his job.
Lost his job as the manager of the Mets.
Yeah.
And
wasn't even there like a week.
No, and he was the only player named because he was no longer in the union.
Yeah.
So he was no longer protected. So they outed him. And he's one of the names now possibly being the new manager for the Mets, which I think is hysterical.
That would be great. I would bring him back. I would. I mean, what the hell? So, with AJ Hinch is in the league, Cora's in the league, the stigma is gone. So don't be ashamed or nervous about hiring anyone associated with it. They got two guys. The two biggest names in all of it are both managing in major leagues, and one guy's managing in the ALCS.
So this is interesting, Tim. Red Sox Stats tweeted out this Minute Maid ballpark, right? Which it is. It's a bandbox, especially down that left field line, right field line. We've seen this field before. Home runs shorter than 360 feet this year. Minute Maid, 47. 47 home runs shorter than 360 feet. Fenway Park, 15. Talk about the pesky pole. Well, Yankee Stadium, 43. Minute Maid, 47. Yankee Stadium, 43. And then Comerica's at 22. So, and Fenway's at 9th with 15 of them. Petco, actually, with only 10 at 16. But 47 home runs at Minute Maid of 360 feet or shorter this year. Shorter than 360 feet. I mean, it's a freaking bandbox. And we know where it is. Right down the left field line. But Red Sox, I don't know, maybe it benefits.
I was going to say, where do they? The next chart I want to see is where do the Red Sox hit all their home runs?
Well, they hit a lot of them right around there. So, Nate Evaldi, he was actually on Greg Hill's show this morning. And you have the Curtis question talking about maybe the hate, because we love it when there's a lot of hate, don't we, between two teams? And is there any hate between these two?
Hey, Nathan, prior to your start in Game 3 of the 2018 LCS against the Astros, Bregman trolled you on Instagram showing the back-to-back home runs they hit in June of that season. Is there a team? I mean, do you hate this team more than any other team in baseball, even though the Yankees are kind of the rival? I mean, they seem to rub everybody the wrong way.
Yeah, I mean, they have a tendency of rubbing guys the wrong way. I mean, I don't necessarily hate any team, but, you know, they're not high up on my list. But, I mean, hey, it happens. You know, I give up three home runs back-to-back-to-back, but... We were able to come out on top that that series, and hopefully we're going to be able to do it again this time.
Yeah, I just like the hate. I like to have the little bit. I don't think that they've played each other a lot, this group, you know, in very meaningful games. You mentioned it, 17, 18, things like that. I don't think they really love each other too much. And I do wonder deep down if, you know, Cora, I know he likes a lot of these guys in the team, but deep down it's got to piss you off, right, that they sort of – they made it out like he was the only guy.
Yeah.
Like he was the ringleader. It was all you, and the players are the ones that are talking about telling the stories. Really?
Do you remember?
Like, he knows deep down about players maybe coming to him like, hey, what can we do? What can we do? You know what I mean?
Of course. So, wait, do you remember, though, any of those players actually naming Alex Cora in any of this? Like, actually, you know.
No, I know the front office stuff. There's a lot of those stories in the front office. That's for sure. Some of those guys are still there.
But the players, I don't remember any of the players actually saying anything about AJ Hinch, about Cora, about any of those guys. It's almost like, you know, I mean, how dare you actually, you know, blame them for something that you were taking part in.
When it came to the investigation, I don't believe you saw, like, you know, this from Jose Altuve, this from Carlos Correa, this from Alex Bregman. But, you know, I think that, you know, just through the investigation, it was just through players and coaches. You know what I mean? There was like those, so you kind of have an idea. I mean, I don't know, maybe you think Alex Cora looked at an investigation and saw a quote from a player and didn't know exactly who it was from? You know how that is.
Can you imagine?
I know exactly
like
who
when
said
this
that.
Is all, because I remember when this happened, it was November like 10th or 11th. It was like when I was doing the 25-hour show, and he came on when I was with Dale and Keith, and he couldn't talk about it. Like, it was all just happening right then and there, and he couldn't talk about it. So, and to think where we're at now. Mm. I hope there's a fight.
Yeah, that'd be good. Yeah, by the way, the other Evaldi cut that I wanted to play, because he was on with Greg Hill this morning. You know, I have at this point apologized to Chaim Bloom, okay, for the trade deadline. You know, I didn't like the trade deadline at all. I have since apologized. You know, Schwarber is at first base. I think it's comedy. I think Robles has been a big factor. I think Austin Davis has thrown the ball well. So I have apologized to Chaim Bloom. But it sounds to me like the players are kind of now apologizing to Chaim Bloom. Because they asked him about the trade deadline and how they felt, how Nate Evaldi felt, about maybe like the lack of moves by the Boston Red Sox. And listen to him stumbling around before he finally gives you the answer, the first 5-10 seconds.
You know, I'm sure, you know, I think we were a little frustrated that we didn't make more moves. But picking up the guys that we did, you know, Schwarber was a huge pickup. We got Robles, who's been huge for us on the stretch. Same with Davis. Schwarber, I think, has been the biggest one so far. The energy that he's been able to bring into the clubhouse on a day-in, day-out basis. And just once we finally got to the playoffs, we all clicked again. We had that same feeling at the beginning of the season, kind of before the trade deadline. Then we had our struggles at the deadline, and you know, we ran into the COVID issues as well. Everything kind of hit us all at once. And once we kind of got separated from each other dealing with the COVID, everybody kind of came back, and we got hot again.
Mm. It's the beginning that's classic.
Yeah.
He wants to say,
can I hear the beginning again? Like, were you disappointed in the lack of moves at the deadline? Just give me
You know, I'm sure, you know, I yeah.
That's all I need. Yeah, it was. We were all pissed. We were.
I guess I should apologize also, because I just didn't think something like that would affect you for 3 weeks. But I guess it's real impactful.
Couple weeks. Well, you knew you had Schwarber, but you didn't know when he was going to come back. Weeks away from Schwarber, you didn't even know where he was going to play.
Yeah, but the question I would have asked
is... At the time,
is,
Dahlbeck blew up, took off, too. So that
was
nice.
Were you guys so upset? There's the question. Were you so upset that you couldn't get out of your own way? Were you so upset that you subconsciously played worse? Was that the reason why you were playing so bad? Because that is the excuse you were making. I don't want to put words in.
All I'm saying is that, like, you know, when you're these teams that made moves, a lot of them had bumps at the deadline. You know, the A's were playing great after what they did. You saw with the Yankees. You saw what they were doing. You saw all these teams, like what they were. Tampa Bay was playing great. And Nelly Cruz, well, he wasn't doing much, but it was that emotional boost that they got from at the deadline for the next week or two. The opposite has to be true. You know, when you don't do anything, there has to be a letdown. And, you know, I think you were talking about they set a record for, like, pitchers, you know, and how many guys they used this year. But when you think about the beginning of the year, they didn't use anybody. Like, there was, everybody was healthy. All five starters pitched every single game for the first 5 months. You know, and then the bullpen was healthy too. And they just got to the point where it's like, okay, you know, we could probably use a breather, maybe use this guy a little bit less or that guy a little bit less. Or we probably need another arm in the pen. Or, damn, we need a first baseman because our guy is a defensive liability, offensive liability, doesn't make contact. And that was exactly what Dahlbeck was for the first couple months. And it never happened. And I just loved that answer.
Sure. You know, I
there it is. Beautiful. I think it's fantastic.
Yeah, and it was, what was it?
He had a lot to get going on.
We got a lot of those. We got Steve. We got Evaldi. We got our good friend Paul.
Yeah.
I mean, all these guys stumbling, bumbling.
I'm frugal.
All right, listen, when we come back, we're going to dive into a little bit of what Rodney Harrison had to say
that doesn't count.
The Dallas Cowboys. That got Christian Ford to possibly change his pick.
What about the whole, the last series of the game?
And we also have a statement from one Adam Schefter, as he got wrapped into this whole Washington football team investigation. You'll hear what he had to say, or I'll read what he had to say next.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game 10, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Dak Prescott, they got two really good backs. They got three good wide receivers. They got two good tight ends. They got a really good offensive line. They can do everything good. So the challenge this week, in my opinion, is the Patriots defense. And I think they have a really good chance to beat the Dallas Cowboys. I'm just going to call it now. I think they're going to beat the Dallas Cowboys.
Oh, my God.
What has to happen for the Patriots to upset the Dallas Cowboys?
You know, you got Diggs over there, and he's leading the league in picks. Man, that brother's a defensive player of the year right now. He's balling. And I feel sorry for who's ever on the side of Zach Martin. That dude has been balling. He is. I mean, that offensive line is big between Zeke and Pollard. Pollard is a problem. They are running that rock. Oh, man, it's a different Zeke. Tackling will be an issue. Just sit back and watch the Patriots.
I was calling for an upset. Now you talked me out of it, Rodney. I don't think it's possible. I was like trying to be the optimist this week. I don't feel like there's a chance.
Rodney Harrison joining us on the Harbor One Hotline.
One of his best appearances on our show. It just ruined me.
That's it. Gets you to flip-flop. Talking about these Cowboys and what they do. And we didn't even play the sound of what he was talking about. Like, yeah, Zeke's good, but Pollard's the one that he's worried about.
I have to put it all together.
But am I right, though? Every position that we talked about or asked him to explain, he loved. Their secondary, great. Their linebacker, Micah Parsons, great. Their offensive line, great. Their receivers, great. Their backs, great. I mean, they don't have a deficiency on offense at all. Like, yeah. They don't have one.
Well, it's just
they have the most valuable player on defense. They basically have Gilmore.
So now you come in here because earlier when we were reading the John Anderson, midday producers, the great article, WEI.com, saying all these defense is overrated. Then it's like, they get the ball, 10 interceptions, 2 fumbles. They're second in the league in takeaways, but it's fraudulent.
To beat the Dallas Cowboys. I'm actually going to call it now. I think they're going to beat the Dallas Cowboys.
Oh, my God.
I mean, you know what? Screw you and screw you. What? I'm sticking with it.
Now you're going back?
No, I just listened. I was jaded. I was shocked there for a second.
So now are you going back?
I'm
going to
stick with it.
Sticking with which take, though?
They're going to upset the Dallas Cowboys.
Oh, my God.
Upset victory.
Really?
You can call me Monday. You can call me. I know you guys want to jump on board. I know you want to jump on board. I know. Hold on. I know everybody wants to kind of, right the ship and, find real enjoyment out of this game. An upset would do it.
After the show, I want you to drive home. I want you to go to the Odyssey app. I want you to click on your little favorite WEI like you normally have. I want you to hit the rewind. I want you to go to 4:30. I want you to listen to the Rodney Harrison interview.
Just listen to it again.
And then I want you to hear what he said about the Cowboys, and I want you to then stand firm because he rattled you.
Yeah, he did.
He changed it. He changed your entire opinion.
So
I don't think
there's an upset
coming.
Do you play better when you're scared? Like when you're about to get beat up? Do you train harder to defend yourself?
I get what you're saying, right? Because this is a new group. This isn't like, the Patriot Way group. So Bill's sitting there talking to this group about how great Davis Mills is and how great David Johnson is and these wide receivers. Boy, they are electric. I can't name them, but they are electric. Brandon Cook's one of the best wide receivers in football. And to talk about this defense and hype them up, this isn't like the Patriot group that might buy into that. So I get it. They might be like, dude, this dude's so full of crap. This team ain't no good at all. So maybe, but with Dallas, like you said, you can't hide it. Like, they're good. You know what they've got. You know Zeke. You know Dak. You know C.D. Lamb and Mari Cooper and Schultz, the tight end. You know offensively what they got, defensively what they're doing. It's right in your face. So, yeah, the buy-in is there. And I expect them to, be better prepared. I just don't think it's going to matter.
Do you think Tampa was an outlier?
I do.
It was like the exception to the rule. Like, that was a once-in-a-lifetime thing. Huge game, big emotion, lots of buildup. Playing against Brady, lots of, totally familiar with them. We're able to put together a plan that kind of gave you...
See, this thought that they play the level of their competition. We're basing that off of Tampa Bay. That's it. Because the other teams haven't been good. They're basing it off of one game against Tampa Bay, and I think there's more to it than playing to the level of your competition. I think it was Tom Brady who visibly was rattled. We heard it. Emotionally, I think was rattled. And I think Bill kind of diced it up, probably planning for all offseason how he's going to defend Tom Brady. Probably put this game plan. This wasn't like, hey, Monday, let's talk about how we want to stop Tom, please. He knew what was coming in here week 4. This was something that I guarantee probably put a lot more time in or had people putting time in to try to come up with this game plan. So I think the effort was there, and I think Brady just came in emotional. And we're basing this like, they play the level of their competition off one football game. One. Tampa Bay.
Well, then, so if they played Miami, they played the Jets, they played the Saints, they played Tampa, and they played Houston.
Yeah.
Okay, out of all those teams, I don't even know what the Saints, everyone is under 500 except Tampa, obviously. Yeah. I don't know what the Saints record is now. But
I don't even know.
If they're not 500, they're flirting with it.
I don't know what the Saints did last week.
They're 3-2?
Yeah, 3-2.
3-2. All right, so I still believe that there's something there. I think if you add up everything, not that this is a must win because they can easily lose this game, play the Jets next week, and still kind of be in the conversation. They need to keep themselves in the conversation. And I do believe, okay, so you know what a game
This is the game.
Here's the game that I think I would compare this to. But this is, it's a little bit, the Baltimore Ravens last year, when the Patriots played the Baltimore Ravens, the Ravens came into town, no one gave them a shot. No one gave them a chance. Sure enough, they ended up beating that team, I don't know, what was it, 20-something to, 23-17. Close game. But you beat the Baltimore Ravens. Yes, it was raining, and it wasn't the greatest of days, but you still beat the Baltimore Ravens.
They came
Ravens.
In 6-2.
Okay, and they had so you really weren't built to beat this team, but you did. My thing is, like, it happens every year. some team that is that shouldn't lose ends up just, you know, not having it that day. Maybe they turn the TV on like we are and they see everybody talking about the Dallas Cowboys being the Super Bowl favorite. Maybe they're reading their own clippings. Maybe they feel like they've peaked already and they don't have to try against a team that is 2-3. See, that barely even it's even worse. They don't even give like good teams don't give a team like the Patriots credit for beating a crappy team. And how they beat that team. They say, dude, don't look at the record. They're 2-3, but they really should be. They really should be defeated.
That's your real opportunity here is that, you know, like you said, you're on ESPN. The Cowboys, are they a Super Bowl contender? You know, everyone's loving the Cowboys. They played Tampa tough opening day. They've rallied off 4 straight. They're 4-1. And you're starting to hear it. This isn't the Dallas Cowboys of old, of the last few years. This is a team that can actually compete for a Super Bowl. And they're walking into Gillette, and they're playing a Patriots team that maybe they sit there and they're watching film. They're saying, this isn't the same Patriots. And by the way, they got a bye week next week. Like, it's like the perfect opportunity, a bye week. They're figuring this thing's 5-1 going to the bye, and for 2 weeks we can read about how great we are. Right, so there's your opportunity. This team comes in feeling way too good about themselves, right? And for the Patriots, wouldn't you agree, this is sort of like the last opportunity to prove that maybe you can turn it around. You go 0-4 at home. Like if you win this football game and go to 3-3 with the Jets coming to town, and you take care of business 4-3 going to the Chargers, which is going to be another
you're
tough
gonna
game
need it.
On the road, right?
You're going to need to steal a game. I guess ultimately that is my point. You're going to now is Dallas the team? Would the Chargers be the team? I don't know. Like, Dallas seems really, really, really good in almost every single aspect, but I'm sure they have liabilities. I'm sure there's some sort of Achilles heel that Bill is going to be able to, you know, expose. And is the Dallas Cowboys, like, one of those teams that has early success but then fades? Like, I don't think they're that team. I think they're a really good team, and you're going to need to force the issue with turnovers. They get nothing but turnovers. Their defense, that's a ball-hawking team. And Ronnie was right. Trayvon Diggs, 6 interceptions in 5 games. It's not because the ball is bouncing his way. It's because he's always in the right position. And he's athletic enough to take advantage of those positions when they arrive.
All right, listen, we take a break here. When we come back, I want to read this statement from Adam Schefter. He got kind of tied into this. You know, John Gruden, we know he was tied into the Washington football team investigation. He is out as head coach of the Las Vegas Raiders. And then Adam Schefter got locked into it today. He got tied into it as well. He responded with a statement. We'll read that to you next. You love the Dunsky one, don't
you? I
do. You love it.
One of my favorites.
You love the Dunsky
one. I like the other one. The Mac Jones one was pretty good, too.
All right. So part of this investigation of the Washington football team, right, has been going on for a while, and everyone's kind of getting a shrapnel right now. John Gruden's out as head coach of the Raiders. And in an email released, Adam Schefter got involved. Apparently, in an email, He wrote to Bruce Allen. He talked about a story about the NFL negotiations, right, that was going on in 2011. This was Adam Schefter in a tweet, I mean, in an email, rather. Please let me know if you've seen anything that should be added, changed, or tweaked, Schefter wrote. Thanks, Mr. Editor, for that and the trust. Plan to file this to ESPN about 6 a.m. And he is getting absolutely hammered. Journalistic integrity. Whether he should have sent the entire article to Bruce Allen to go over it or not. We've been back and forth with that earlier in the show, and this was the statement from Adam Schefter just a little bit ago. Fair questions are being asked about my reporting approach on an NFL lockout story from 10 years ago. Just to clarify, it's common practice to verify facts of a story with sources before you publish in order to be as accurate as possible. In this case, I took the rare step of sending the full story in advance because of the complex nature of the collective bargaining talks. It was a step too far, and looking back, I shouldn't have done it. The criticism being levied is fair. With that said, I want to make this perfectly clear. In no way did I or would I cede editorial control or hand over final say about a story to anyone ever. And that's a statement from Adam Schefter.
We interrupt Merlone and Fourier for this apology.
Yes.
Did he say he was sorry anywhere in there?
Sounds like an apology.
Yeah. Listen, again.
Yeah. It was a step too far, and looking back, I shouldn't have done it. So there you go.
The only reason why he's looking back is because he is forced to look back because of the investigation going on with the Washington football team. Otherwise, I mean, do we assume that this is the only time he did it?
Like, no.
He doesn't really think it's a bad idea.
No. We've gone back and forth. And Tyler, I know we were disagreeing on it. You know, I just look at him as an insider, not a journalist. I don't know, 10 years ago, I'm trying to think, was Adam Schefter's role different? I don't think so.
I don't think he was the top dog just yet, but him and Rapoport were still duking it out.
Right. So he's the real question is,
we can all
should we start a list? Should we all come up with a list? Who's next? Like, we got a pool?
And you're talking about in that, all those, out of the 650,000 emails?
650,000 oh, wow. emails.
Squares?
Who is next? I think we should do that. By the way, this hour, Maloney and Four, is brought to you by Teen Malone.
You want
to
know who's next? We should do that. You want to know who's next?
Give me a name.
Think of people who the league, being like NFL, like Roger Goodell, that whole group.
Who they're pissed at.
Who they don't like.
Who don't they like?
Yeah. If a name comes up, then they're probably going to throw something like that out there.
Wouldn't two of the most influential names you could possibly throw out would be Jerry Jones and Robert Kraft?
Yes. Bill Belichick.
Protect it.
Yeah.
They're Daniel Snyder. There's not one email being leaked about Daniel Snyder. They're going to protect the owners. They're not going to mess with the owners. When all this is said and done, everybody who's getting affected and getting hit by something are people who don't even work for the Washington.
When you say protected, it's like, I don't know, isn't Schefter protected by this league? Like, he's the mouthpiece for everybody.
They just released one of his.
I'm just saying, when you said, like, they're protected.
Ownership, billionaires are protected more than a guy that reports on the comings and goings of leagues.
Roger Goodell, I think there was some influence with John Gruden. I think he pissed off somebody, obviously, because they sent out one email about what he said about D'Amore Smith, and almost like they didn't get the reaction they needed. So then Sunday night, they sent out a bunch of them. To really screw them, to really force their hand. And if nothing happened there, they would have sent out more on Monday or Tuesday, I guarantee it. They wanted to get John Gruden out. When you say like guys like that are protected, I would say, well, isn't Adam Schefter protected by this league? Like, he's the voice of this league. You know, I mean, he is, right? So I don't know who the next one is. We'll come up with a list. Think about it overnight. We'll announce our list tomorrow.
All right, okay.
Maybe top the next guy will come out by that.
In no particular order.
I don't even know. All right, let's get to our last call. Last call brought to you by Cars for Kids. The easy way to donate your car. Donate today and your car can be picked up tomorrow. So go to carsforkids.com. We'll give him a call at 1-877-CARS-4-KIDS. So Tom Brady does his Let's Go. Is that what it is?
LFG.
The Let's Go podcast.
Let's Go podcast with Jim Gray. And Snoop was actually involved in this one. They're talking about an incident after one of the Super Bowls, I believe, where they actually went out. Kind of a surprising who else was with Brady and Snoop.
Listen, they don't know that every Super Bowl that you was a part of in New England, I was at the party. I partied with you, everyone. Despite being a Steeler fan, I showed up for my Patriots. I showed up with TB and Mr. Kraft and them, and I was performing. I was hanging out. I was doing everything needed to be a part of the Patriot family, and I appreciate y'all for welcoming me. That was love.
Always. You know, when Snoop was there, it was a good. It was the best time. So there was always requests for who Mr. Kraft would always ask. The guys, who do you guys want? Snoop was always the first one out of our mouth. So, you know, he's a part of some of the best moments in my life. And I actually have a funny story. So after the game that we won in Atlanta against the Rams, Snoop was there. And I brought my son was 11 at the time to the after party. And the game ended pretty late. So it was midnight. It was in our hotel. So we had this little special spot on the stage. Well, Snoop had a pole up and there were some girls. They were clothed. But at the same time, there was a pole, and my son was here. He had his eyes open, and he was listening to music. And I said, Jack, cover your eyes. And he goes, Dad, I'm good. So it's 2 in the morning, and, I mean, we are having the time of our life. And I'm like, holy cow, if he tells his mother, I ain't going to see this kid for a long time. But
Jack, my nephew, Jack and the Beanstalk.
I'm telling you, it was one of the best moments of my life. We still talk about it, too. I said, Jack, and he goes, Dad, I'm good, all right? I'm good.
Yeah. Keep that under your hat, Jack.
That's right. He's growing up quick, that boy.
That's what I'm talking about. That's the beauty about being a father, man. You get those precious moments that those are going to remain forever. Trust me, Tom. Those are going to remain forever, brother.
Those precious moments.
Great.
My kid's 11.
That is
great. I can
only
imagine. That's what's beautiful about being a father. Those precious moments of those girls dancing on a pole.
Keep that under your head, Jack.
Unreal. Unreal.
That is fantastic. All right. Hey, tomorrow, by the way, our first Bruins Thursday.
Man, I got to cram. I got to cram for this.
Jack Edwards, he's going to join us at 4 o'clock.
Good,
he's going to join us every single Thursday, Bruins fans, at 4 o'clock.
So he'll do all the talking.
Jack Edwards. Mike Milbury's on with the morning show.
Get up!
Correct? Greg Hill.
Great.
Which would be great. Andrew Raycroft, he joins Gresh and Keefe.
Okay.
We got our guy, Jack Edwards, tomorrow at 4. Also, Andy Hart will join us from 2:30 to 3:30, correct?
Okay. Yep.
We got a busy day tomorrow.
We do.
It'll be good. All right, listen, everybody, have a good night. We will talk to you tomorrow at 2.
That's what I'm talking about. That's the beauty about being a father, man. You get those precious moments that those are going to remain forever.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.